What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Joining me now is gubernatorial candidate Alan Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Hey, it's great to be with you again. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no, we just want to check in with you, make sure you're safe. This Democrat candidate says he's going to kick your teeth in, quote unquote. So which thought we'd check in?
Hey, first off, I take it as flattery. I'm flattered by this because, the Democratic side is thinking about me in the general election right now. Unfortunately for me, I have to think about the primary before I think about the general. So that is where my focus and attention is at this time. It's winning the nomination for our party to be the next governor of South Carolina.
Well, I should tell you, that I was not planning to endorse in this race, but I had to after getting a look at this guy. I went ahead and endorsed him last week, and I didn't want you to hear about it and take it wrong. Because, I can't think of a better representative for the Democrat Party. I mean, they even admit he's crazy. And, so we went point by point, and I got to tell you, sir, I don't think he's any less crazy than the current Democrat leadership. I don't think it's fair that they're calling him crazy when they're crazier than he is. So I went ahead and endorsed him. I think he'd do a fine job as the nominee for the Democrat.
Well, I agree with you. However, when I look at the leadership of the Democratic Party across the nation, these are people who are on the 20% side of 80-20 issues. When you consider what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the murder rate and the violent crime and what the president's attempting to do, as well as, men playing in women's sports and parental rights, the left is just tacked so far off the grid that they're not even talking reasonable anymore. And I have a lot of mainstream friends who would claim to be Democrats. And, they are even embarrassed for some of this national leadership.
Amen to that. And I think this guy's a great example of it. I was going to ask you last time you were on, I realized that I had a question I should have asked you about your tax plan.
Yes.
And your plan is, of course, if I understand it correctly, to get to 0% income tax for the state of South Carolina, correct?
Yes, correct. That is my plan.
Okay. And, I realized in the law now, we actually have a mechanism to do that, but it's one that really probably won't ever work to get us there. Are you planning to go beyond that? In other words, pass new tax law to get us to 0%? Or was your plan kind of just an endorsement of getting there the way that we already planned? Because as you know, it's all these things have to happen before it can be triggered, and it's probably never going to happen. Could you kind of explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, you look around the country, especially in the southeastern quadrant of the country, three states are already at 0%. An additional five southeastern states, if you count Indiana, have already passed laws to go to 0% using revenue triggers. And what they're doing is they're capping the spending of their state to the population plus inflation. So when you go and you look at South Carolina over a 10-year period, South Carolina's government spending grew at 6.5%, while its population plus inflation grew at 3.4%. Basically, Tara, we were growing 3.1%, we were spending 3.1% faster than we were growing. Try to run a business like that. Had we capped state government spending over that 10-year period to the rate of population plus inflation, then we would have been able to give back in permanent tax cuts nearly $2 billion over that 10-year period to taxpayers. And that is the main crux of what my plan will involve, capping spending to return that money to the people so that it can grow the economy.
Excellent. So trying to get this through, one of the things, Alan Wilson, that I have not been very happy with Pete, with Henry Master, his sort of, I guess, plan or the way that he operates. Yes, I know it's a weak governor's mansion. I know it is, okay? But at the same time, you've got a tremendous bully pulpit there to bring attention to this, to get this passed. Will you use that bully pulpit more than McMaster has? Because when you're talking about this tax plan, obviously you can't make the legislature do this. You're going to have to use that bully pulpit. He has barely used it. Will you improve upon that?
Well, Tara, first let me say this. Let me qualify what you said. I don't disagree to a degree, but the governor's office is not weak. It is weaker relative to the legislature. You are absolutely correct about that. But that doesn't mean it's weak. And you are correct. The governor does have a tremendous bully pulpit. The governor can move the masses. The governor can move the public perception. The governor, if applied, can move the legislature to do certain things. This is something that I did to a lesser degree as the attorney general pushing for judicial reform. Now, did I get everything I wanted in judicial reform? No. We were far from it, probably about 60% of what I wanted. But I still moved the needle using my bully pulpit only as a little old AG running around the state talking to legislators and talking to the people and raising awareness. And they did something. The governor could do that with judicial reform. The governor could do that with infrastructure, education. The governor could do that with public safety, energy. The governor could even do that with tax reform. And that's in judicial, not just judicial reform, but litigation reform. So these are some of the things that I'm going to move the legislature to. Tara, one of my favorite quotes of leadership was by Colin Powell, who once said, "Leadership is the ability to get people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it." And the governor has to be able to get the legislature to follow his lead. And if the governor can't do that, the governor shouldn't be the governor. And that's how I'm approaching this job.
Talking to Attorney General Alan Wilson, who is, of course, running for governor, I had another question for you, too. President Trump has asked Republican governors to send the National Guard to help him out in D.C., and Henry McMaster immediately answered that call, as he should have. We've got a lot of problems, a lot of safety problems in D.C. However, Trump also asked for that kind of help back in February with, you know, deputizing state law enforcement, doing, you know, the interdiction of illegals, all of that stuff. And so far, we now have some other governors answering that call from Tennessee. They're dispatching the National Guard to help ICE. We have Indiana is helping. I know there's a proposal on the table for that here. Would you use the National Guard in this state to help ICE, as we're seeing Tennessee do right now?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. We all have to own the problem. Texas and Arizona and other border states can't be, you know, owning the problem. And other states like Tennessee can't own the problem, because a lot of the stuff coming across that southern border is coming right into South Carolina. I'm seeing it firsthand as attorney general. So we have to use every resource, every resource that we can. Every course of action has to be on the table. And certainly using the National Guard to the degree that you legally can should be one of those options, as well as deputizing local law enforcement to support federal immigration enforcement.
Amen to that. Alan Wilson, anything else you want to tell us about this morning?
No, I just want to say I was incredibly proud to be in the upstate for a couple of days last week with the Attorney General Pam Bondi, having a group of sheriffs from around the state as well as federal law enforcement talking about these very issues that you're asking me about today, Tara. I don't know, you must have been in the room, because we talked about all of these things when General Bondi was down here, continuing the federal partnership that we have with the Trump administration and law enforcement at the federal level is something we're going to continue to do to crack down on illegal immigration and go after these drug and human traffickers.
Alan Wilson, where can folks find you and find out more about your campaign?
WilsonForSC.com. WilsonForSC.com is our website. Come check us out there, and I look forward to seeing you in your home community soon.
Amen to that. Hope your voice gets better. I saw you kind of lost it by the end of the week. Okay. Alan Wilson, folks, thanks so much for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Our FBI director, James Comey, is in trouble. He's in big trouble. You know that if you get real news. What did we learn last week? He illegally leaked classified data via a friend of his, a professor at Columbia University, to the Washington Post and the New York Times. Remember when Trey Gowdy asked him, this is to Trey Gowdy's credit, you know, we've had all these leaks, all these classified intel. It's just like right there out in the mainstream media. You going to do anything? This was on, when he was under oath. He asked Comey that. And Comey's like, well, yeah, no. Well, now we know why. He was the chief felon in charge. He was leaking it. We learned that last week. Leaking classified data. He's in trouble. He's in big trouble. We also found out, Merrick Garland found out that this leaking had gone on by Comey and Andrew McCabe, other folks at the top of the FBI. By the way, McCabe also leaking with Comey's knowledge, didn't care. And they buried the investigation. They killed it. Comey's in trouble. And Comey knows it. That these are felonies. That's what he did. Then over the weekend, more, but these bombshells continue to come, folks. We learned that FBI investigators working the Clinton corruption case, there were, it turns out, three FBI offices where honest agents, I can't believe there are any, but there are some, were actually working the Clinton found and corruption case, examining the more than 300,000 Hillary Clinton emails discovered on the Wiener laptop that documented crimes. Comey shut it down. Killed it. Now, what's wild about that is the second Hillary Clinton criminal investigation Comey killed. We just found out Comey discovered, remember that weekend when Hillary was running against Trump 2016 and the heat had just gotten so hot for her on those emails, and classified emails that she stole, and she was stealing classified data. She didn't have any right to view outside of a SCIF. She was not only viewing it outside of a SCIF, she's taking it with her, putting it on an unsecure server that five foreign governments then accessed. And that was a problem for her. So remember, he did that very fake email search. He sent fake agents, well, real agents with fake, you know, motives to say, well, you know, she sort of broke the law a little, but wasn't that big deal? Nobody would ever really charge her. Well, it turns out he did find the 8 thumb drive she stole for a full of classified data with so many felonies on them. Quite frankly, we can't even, I mean, I don't even know how many years in prison that would be. Realized it was a problem and classified the evidence of her crimes to make them go away. So that's two felonious Hillary Clinton investigations Comey killed. He's in trouble. And that is why he's quoting Taylor Swift. Now, when you hear it, when you hear this, everybody on the internet was like, what? Taylor Swift? We should all emulate Taylor Swift in fighting bullies like Donald Trump. What is Comey doing? Folks, you know what this is the class of mark of? A PR firm. Comey has hired a PR firm. And what they've all concluded, Dem and the lawyers, is the only way, Comey's best shot at staying out of the clink for the rest of his life, or at least a significant part of it, is public opinion. That's it. He's got to create enough heat on Trump and enough fake news outrage among the dumbest people in our society, white liberal voting women. No more dangerous force on earth, if you ask me. Yeah, Taliban second only to white women and Al-Qaeda. Yeah, very dangerous. White liberal voters, dumbest people on the planet. Truly. We've documented it many ways and times here. So what is he doing? He's channeling Taylor Swift to try to enhance public opinion around himself. What does he want? He wants a bunch of outraged liberal women screaming bloody murder in his honor. He wants to swing public perception in his favor so that no matter how bad the stuff coming out is, people are saying it's not fair, it's an attack on our democracy, and all this stuff. So he is targeting the single stupidest voter group and most destructive on earth, and that is liberal women voters. And the way you do that is by channeling Taylor Swift. So Comey didn't write this. You could tell he's reading it. The PR firm trying to keep him out of prison did. Here's what that sounded like.
Taylor Swift produces great art, but also because she models something. At every stage of her career, she's shown a certain way of being that resonated with my kids and also felt right to me as a parent. And she's still doing that as a grown-up. Like a lot of you, I struggle with how to stand up to bullies without letting their meanness infect me and change me. I don't want us to become like Trump and his followers. There are far more decent, honest, kind people in America than there are mean jerks. And don't get me wrong, we have our jerks, millions of them, you may have noticed. In particular, there's a stunning coarseness and ugliness in the Republican Party today. It's upsetting, but it's also a minority of America.
You're a felon,
on the whole,
dude.
We aren't like that, and we don't like that.
Uh-huh, you're a felon.
I think that's a big part of the reason so few Americans support Donald Trump when they have to see him and that up close.
Okay, this guy calling Trump a bully and saying Taylor Swift's way of dealing with bullies is best. This is a guy who just a few months ago tweeted 8647, in other words, killed Donald Trump. Why? He wanted Trump dead because he's desperate. He knows what he did. That guy says Trump is a bully? You mean the guy that you begged your followers to kill? What a Lulu bird. This guy's nuts. Can you hear how much he hates you? Can you see what his motivation would have been? Can you imagine the dictatorship he was running inside the FBI? I just laid out earlier in this segment. So what is that right there? A lot of folks online didn't know what to make of it. It was so bizarre. That's a PR firm. And what are they saying? They probably already polled who is most likely to support James Comey. They are trying to create a fake groundswell of people defending Comey, of people saying, oh, we shouldn't go after FBI directors, and people who are quite frankly dumb enough that they won't say, ask, hey, you know, like, what is this guy, accused of doing? You know, a lot of felons, a lot of felonies right there. And you, again, when you take the evidence of Hillary's crimes and you classify it, oh, you're talking about conspiracy right there. That conspiracy continues right through James Comey's death threats, calling for the murder of Donald Trump, which he absolutely did. We all know what 86 means. Anybody who's watched a mob movie knows what 86 means, and Comey knows too. So what do we make of this? We laugh at it. You know what that is right there? That's two things. Number one, he's desperate. And number two, I hope the cost of that PR firm broke him. Because that's the idea. They bankrupted Donald Trump just about. He still owes every cent he has, or at least had before he took the presidency. He may have more money now, to the state of New York. Well, let Comey feel a little bit about that. Let Comey feel that. Let Comey know what facing 700 years in prison is like, because that's what Donald J. Trump faced. And then let him write that check, maybe out of his 401k, to that PR firm. Yeah. The media was driven nearly insane this weekend by the red carpet reception of Vladimir Putin by Donald Trump. Let me tell you why they reacted that way. They couldn't say it, couldn't tell you the truth, why it drove them so insane. But these two men standing there are the two biggest targets of the evil American deep state, standing side by side, having defeated it. Drove them half near mad. Media tried to take them both down too with lies and failed. Okay. The main purpose of the Alaska summit, and it was accomplished, was to do the one thing that has to happen before any kinds of peace can be had in Ukraine. The real purpose of the Alaska summit, media doesn't understand this because they're so steeped in fake news. They've lost all touch with reality. But the real purpose, the main purpose of the Alaska summit was to exonerate Putin of the Russia hoax and Trump, with Trump at his side on the world stage. It was profound. And so every second of this is a repudiation of the media's lies, and they were forced to sit there and take it. And so, you know, some of the rage that you're seeing in the coverage, it's because they knew the world was watching and they couldn't stop Trump or Putin from saying true things. Like this, which Trump said, standing by Putin's side.
I've always had a fantastic relationship with President Putin, with Vladimir. We had many tough meetings, good meetings. We were interfered with by the Russia hoax. It made it a little bit tougher to deal with, but he understood it. But we had to put up with the Russia hoax. He knew it was a hoax, and I knew it was a hoax, but what was done was very criminal, but it made it harder for us to deal as a country in terms of the business and all of the things that we'd like to have dealt with. But
and there it was. Ed Martin, U.S. attorney, was on Fox News this weekend. Maria Bartiromo nails this. Said peace is not possible until Putin and Trump are exonerated on the world stage in the Russia hoax. I'm going to explain to you why.
And, you know, Brett had President Trump on an interview on that flight to Alaska. And in the interview, President Trump said the Russia hoax was meant to destroy the relationship with Russia, make it impossible to get things under control, get a reset like Hillary said she wanted. So what we have in the Department of Justice now is a weaponization working group.
And he is working to put those in prison who did this. So Trump's sitting there with Brett Baer, and he's on the plane on the way over there to Alaska, and he's explaining, look, I could have done this deal before, except for the fake Russia hoax the deep state launched.
But I had a good relationship with him. We had no problems. We had, you know, country that was, we were getting along. We were doing fine. We have tremendous potential. You know, Russia has very valuable land. We have tremendous potential to have a great relationship, a great business relationship, but we couldn't do it because of the crooked, demented people that created the phony Russia. And I told him, I said, you know, Vladimir, there's no way we're going to make a deal. You know that. He said, well, I think it's going to be tough. I said, no, not tough. It's impossible because I have wise guys that created a phony deal. And until that settled up, that was the hoax, the big hoax, the greatest. Well, one of the greatest hoax, I think. We have a lot of others that we can talk about, all by the same group of very, very bad Americans. I'm going to be nice when I say it that way.
This is exactly what I told you last week. I said, this is why Trump's holding this. And you watched him do exactly what I said he would do. I said, we cannot have peace until we clear the air here. And Putin said essentially the same thing. When he says, he confirms, this drove the media crazy too. Hey, there wouldn't have been war if Trump was president. Why? Because the Russia hoax wouldn't have been used for as the pretext for militarizing the Russian border.
Today, when President Trump saying that if he was the president back then, there will be no war. And I'm quite sure that it would indeed be so. I can confirm that. I think that overall, me and President Trump have built a very good business-like and trustworthy contact. And I have every reason to believe that moving down this path, we can come, and the sooner the better.
What is he talking about? What are they all talking about? Okay, you can't understand what is happening with Trump, Putin, and Russia right now without knowing the jaw-dropping, like, true history of the Ukraine war. A great way to see it for yourself. And it's going to show you, it's going to give you a look at your government you've never had before. Is to watch the Oliver Stone documentary on Ukraine. It will blow your mind. It's not fake. It's real. And Stone did that documentary back when the U.S., you know, USA Today mainstream media was honestly covering Ukraine and admitting there was a Nazi resurgence there. They had taken over the government. And they'd taken over the government with the help of John Brennan's CIA and Obama State Department. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But the central goal of U.S. foreign policy from Obama and Hillary forward to Biden was to start World War III with Russia. And the original address for that war was supposed to be Syria. I've explained this many times, but that shifted to Ukraine in 2014 after John Brennan's CIA violently overthrew Ukraine's last truly elected government chosen by the people at the polls. They chose a pro-Russian government. Makes sense. A lot of them are ethnically Russian. The birthplace of Russia is Kyiv, 800 years ago. They've been fighting a civil war ever since. Now, most of that civil war has actually been with the Euroweenies, not even internally with them. So, and it's been going on forever. Anyway, the Ukrainian people have lived, you have to understand this, in a dictatorship run by U.S. intel agencies and our State Department ever since. They aren't allowed to have real elections, much like we weren't in 2020. That's their reality. And that is why Gallup just pulled Ukraine. We want to continue the war more than they do, 26%. Supported continuing the war. Why? Because their sons are being kidnapped off the street and thrown into the meat grinder by these people who have served as a dictatorship. Folks, I've said this many times. Zelensky couldn't walk down a street in Ukraine. He wouldn't survive from one end of the beginning of the street to the other. The guy's not even their leader anymore. His term expired. He didn't run for office. He shut down the media, sent his political rivals to the front line. They're all dead. Those that didn't escape the country. Reporters routinely disappear there or are killed. We've documented that. Those who tell the truth. I mean, it is a true dictatorship. I feel so bad for those people. Anyway, The Obama administration used the Russia hoax as an excuse to militarize Russia's border. I've explained this many times. Based on lies, and they censored anyone on social media who tried to tell you the truth using the lie of Russian disinformation. So this affected me and you too. The Ukrainian government, which is now a puppet of our intel agencies in NATO, the globalists, then began, and people don't understand this, a murderous ethnic cleansing. This is why you need to watch the Oliver Stone documentary. It began a murderous ethnic cleansing of Russians living in Ukraine. This is why Trump, this is why Putin wants to hold on to the Donbass, because it is largely ethnically Russian, and that is where they were, the Ukrainian government, indiscriminately bombing schools, hospitals, murdering children. They were hitting apartments, churches, in the ethnic cleansing. That's why Russia won't give it back. Those are Russians. A lot of them. They're not all Russian. Some are Ukrainian, but or they're culturally Russian. And they know that the slaughter will begin again. And they're not willing to give it up. And they shouldn't give it up. They need to keep those people safe. So based on Hillary's Russia collusion lies, Obama punished Russia for hacking our election infrastructure by putting tanks and troops on Russia's border. It's a total provocation of war. We would never tolerate on our border. It was all fake, as we learned last week from an FBI whistleblower. Russia didn't cyber attack our boards of elections, as America was told. Hillary did. But in 2017, Congress voted almost unanimously to put sanctions on the Russian energy markets, destroying the Russian economy based on total lies. And that is why, as soon as Joe Biden won the election, the troops began massing on the Russian border for the attack. They knew they were going to have to go to war with the Democrat Party deep state. So that's where we are today. The healing for all of that, that needed to happen, the exoneration that the Russian people needed to see, happened this weekend when Trump stood there, the two of them, and said there was no Russia collusion. No coup, no attack on our democracy, no hacking, none of it. That was why he had the summit. This means theoretically we can go forward to peace now. I don't know if we'll get it, but the air is finally clear. And it was an incredible moment to watch. So it drove the media almost mad to watch the two men, the deep state and the media, have most tried to destroy Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, standing there unscathed, more powerful than ever. Drove them darn near to crazy. One of the things that happened this weekend, Putin runs around and he continues to point out how he believes the deep state attempted to kill Trump or allow him to be killed, to take him out, to put him in prison. And Putin did it again over the weekend when he greeted Trump, said, oh, you know, I'm so glad you survived. And then Putin made the point of making sure that people knew that was the first thing that he said to Trump. What is Putin doing? Putin is saying, look, we're fellow travelers. We've both survived the deep state, their lies and their manipulations. So this is Putin describing, you know, for the cameras, hey, this is the first thing, you know, or one of the first things I said to Trump when we greeted each other.
When I came out of the plane and I've said, good afternoon, dear neighbor. Very good to see you. In good health and to see you alive.
What is he doing? He's pointing out how bad the deep state is. Do you remember when Joe Biden was launching missiles into Russia in a desperate last minute bid to start World War III after the election, after, you know, Kamala lost? And Putin did that big press conference. This has been a big theme with him. And he talked about the deep state. He said, listen, gangsters don't even do this in Russia. And he's defending Trump. He's saying, look, dude, look at the way they've treated this man. Look at the way they've treated his family.
What amazed me most, that in fighting him, not only Trump was subjected to humiliating court procedures, accusations, and so on, but his family was attacked as well. His children was attacked. Gangsters don't do this in Russia. When criminal gangs fight, they don't touch children and women. It's men who fight among themselves. But those guys stooped as low as that. I think this is so... This looks so bad that it only reconfirms how low the political system of the United States has fallen.
And he wasn't wrong. He was right. And again, his outrage and the Russian people's outrage is, again, because we sanctioned that country and destroyed its economy based on the lie that Russia had cyber attacked us. And we just found out last 2 weeks, it was Hillary. Hillary hired federal contractors, actually, her campaign did, hired federal contractors to fake that internet traffic. Where does Russia go to get their economy back? Yeah, that's the problem. So this is Putin saying Trump and I are fellow survivors of the deep state, and they are. Can they build upon that foundation, though, to change the security question between the two countries? I don't know. He's a squirrely guy. We'll see.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.